next one, of course, is transfigured and then sent. And if you don't have those three words memorized and completely interiorized by the end of the weekend, you miss it. Called. The first thing that has to happen is, Bishop Curtin spoke about so beautifully, in that engagement, in that friendship that Jesus develops with the apostles, is this call, calling them out, first of all, to be with him, to join him, then calling them out in another way to be apostles, and then calling three of them out with him to go to the Mount of Transfiguration. Being able to hear the call of the Lord and to respond to that is so essential to our Christian lives. So how do we hear his call? You should have gotten a little handout. Copied a few scriptures for you and a few little verses from St. Ignatius, and I made a little picture for you, which is not in fact a hard-boiled egg. But we'll get to that in a moment. And hopefully there'll be a few things that you can take with you to be able to respond to the Lord's call. Maybe you even felt it when you paused for a few moments in silence. You can almost feel the weight of that silence, to all be silent together and pray. Something beautiful happens in that. You can feel it when the noise stops. And I suppose it's especially challenging in the city of New York to find a place where the noise stops. But it's so necessary. It's so necessary to come to a place, to find a place, to create a place. Externally, exterior silence is irreplaceable. But ultimately, that also to create a space for interior silence, a place that the noise stops. Because when God is calling us, he doesn't shout at us. He does shout at us for certain things. Those are called the Ten Commandments. They shout. God thunders, his voice thunders. When he revealed to Moses on the mountain, thunders. Because the Ten Commandments are so loud that they're written into every part. Now, even in that, we can silence that voice. We can numb ourselves to even the shout of God. But all of us are made in our humanity to hear the thundering voice of God that speaks the Ten Commandments to us. The basic foundations of morality. If we've already gone off the rails, made ourselves deaf to that shout of God, well, it's going to be a lot harder to hear anything else. But presuming that we're all in a place, at least that we recognize the shouting voice of God speaking to us the natural law of the Ten Commandments, then we're in a place, and I think we're here together this weekend, to hear the personal voice of God. What is he saying to me? What is he saying to you personally? Friendship that he has with you, when he calls you out, when he calls you to the mountain. The transfiguration was not even for all of the apostles, at least initially. It was just for the three of them. What was he calling them apart to hear? That's when we start to talk about the whisper of God. When God tells us something that is not so much necessary for our salvation, but it's necessary for our holiness, our thriving, and our humanity. It's necessary for us to grow in a deeper friendship with him and to walk with him more closely. When he wants to speak that personal word to us, start to make space for him, then we start to become more aware of his presence. And we start to become more tuned into his voice. We become a little bit more sensitive to what he's saying to us personally. One of the ways that we can tune into him, that we can tune into his voice, because the reality is, what happens when we actually go apart and we take some time and we create some silence? What do we immediately hear? A lot of loud stuff going on in us. There's like a loud song beating in us. There's something that somebody just said to us that starts coming up. There's 15 things that we have to get done that immediately come to our attention. And then our phone buzzes 7 times, and that means, you know, as soon as we come into silence, all this noise emerges from within us. And how do we start to sort through that to figure out what in the world is us? What is God, and what is the enemy, and what is our neighbor, and what is our mother from 25 years ago, and what is all of that? How do we start to sort out what's going on in us? Well, the first thing is just let it bubble out. If you just sort of stay there and kind of focus on God, just say the name of Jesus, pray the Jesus prayer, right? Just a little repetition, just stay focused for a moment. A lot of that stuff will just sort of bubble out, and it'll sort of go away. Lord, you search me and you know me. you that's not doing this is not the voice of the Lord. The voice that just wants to accuse you, that wants to hold you in that shame, that wants to dismiss you and belittle you, the voice that wants to cast you out and send you away, it's not the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord is the one that knows us and loves us, calls us, and draws us into an embrace. The only way always in there. Even when he challenges us, even when our stuff is exposed, as I felt very much this morning, as a whole host of things that I was, sins that I need to confess, were coming to my heart and my memory and my mind, even as he's calling that out, he's calling me through it. He's calling me into his loving embrace. So take time with the word, just that simple word of the Lord, you search me and you know me. If you take a whole hour, just with that word, as you're drawn into his embrace, you rest there. And then you get distracted like all of us. And then, oh Lord, you search me and you know me, allow him to call you out, just to be in that embrace. I copied a number of scriptures. I'm not going to read all of them, but I've divided them so that as we have a little bit of time today, you might take one of these passages. They're very easy to pray with because they're so rich, because they're so personal. They're easy to connect with. But just the reality that he's with us all the time. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your face? He's with us all the time. When we feel so alone. I'm sitting up in the hotel room last night. There's so much going on in the city. I mean, the city is a city that never sleeps, right? That's what somebody was telling me this morning. New York never sleeps. People constantly awake, constant noise, constant, and yet we can feel so alone in the midst of that. So alone. Is there anybody who knows me? Is there anybody who cares that I'm here in this hotel room by myself? Is there anybody? Where can I flee? Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your face? If I climb the heavens, you are there. If I lie in the grave, you are there. If I sit in a hotel room in New York City, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn or dwell in the seas firm as sand, allow him to be with you. He wants to tell us that. The thing is with Scripture, he's made his whisper public. The things that he whispers in Scripture, he whispers to every one of us. Nobody is disqualified. These words are for everyone. So let him speak these words to you personally. How do we know that we're hearing?
I gotta find out where I am with time here. Okay.
How do we know that we're hearing him? I think one of the reasons that I was asked to speak here is because I have a conversion story that's a little bit dramatic, and obviously I'm living out this monastic life and this priesthood, which has a way of being a little bit dramatic. So I was not raised with any faith of any kind. I was never baptized. I was never spending church. I have beautiful, loving parents who themselves were not raised in anything in particular, so I just wasn't part of my family. I was very Eastern, not Christian things, and looking at meditation and breathing and awareness and these things, not very seriously, but sort of looking at transcendent things. And then I was sitting one day under a tree, and a total stranger came up to me and invited me to study the Bible with him one-on-one after giving me a little spiel. Internally became a Christian. I dropped all of my conditionals. Whenever kind of dead side. So he sort of like claimed that grace in me, and I thought, oh, I guess I better go to church on Sunday now that I'm a Christian. I'll go to Mass because that's like the whole thing. Anyway, I wish I could bottle that and just use it on people, but so I started going to Mass at Penn State and went for a few weeks, and then God gave me another grace where he said, I could let it take a lot of time to figure out that the Eucharist is the body and blood of Christ, and that, you know, that's really God, or I could just kind of tell him. So I went to, you know, a couple weeks after John chapter 3 is John chapter 6. We read John chapter 6, and I said, oh, that's what's going on in Mass. I'm sure I could bottle it and use it anyway. The point is that my Catholic journey began kind of around the same time as that Christian journey. I started making my way toward the church, started going to Mass every week. I did a study abroad in Germany, and so I was away over Easter, so I didn't go into RCIA. Some vague notions. This is one of the freebies God did not give me. Anyway, I continued to go to Mass very faithfully, but didn't enter the church and receive the sacraments until I came back from Germany. While I was in Germany, something very important happened that's swooping again into the Paul's theme. I wanted to take a look at the back of this page. When I was in Germany, I experienced my weakness in the context of faith. If you look down at 2 Corinthians 12, St. Paul says, to keep me from being too elated by the abundance of revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I begged the Lord about this, that it should leave me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I will all the more gladly boast of my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So let me ask a simple question. In the strongest area of my life, who is stronger, me or God? Who is stronger, you or God? It's pretty obvious. The problem is, in the strongest area of my life, I think I'm strong enough, and so I don't ask him to be my strength. What happens in the weakest area of my life is that I'm finally in touch with what should be obvious to the most casual observer, which is that God is stronger than I am. Except I don't have my own resources to lean on in my weakest area. good. I hit this wall. I started to cry out to the Lord. He provided for me. And then in the space of that prayer, there was an internal silence that emerged. Just at the bottom of the front page there, where my little picture is, it's a little quote from the Spiritual Exercises of St. Ignatius. So happy to be in the presence of St. Ignatius says, "I call it consolation when an interior movement is aroused in the soul by which it is inflamed with love of its Creator and Lord, and as a consequence can love no creature on the face of the earth for its own sake, but only in the Creator of them all." Think about experiences that I hope at some point in your life you've had in prayer. Maybe that experience of having your heart inflamed with love for the Lord. It is likewise consolation when one sheds tears that move to the love of God, whether it be because of sorrow for sins or because of the sufferings of Christ our Lord, or for any other reason that is immediately directed to the praise and service of God. Second, first inflaming with love, a second possibility, move to tears, out of love, out of contrition. Third, series of descriptions. Finally, I call consolation every increase of faith, hope, and love, and all interior joy that invites and attracts to what is heavenly and to the salvation of one's soul. I fill it with peace and quiet in its Creator and Lord. And see, that's what happened to me in that prayer in Germany. As I was reading the scripture, I was crying out to the Lord, and then suddenly there was an internal movement. Space cleared out. My soul was filled with peace and quiet in its Creator and Lord. There was an increase in faith, hope, and love. I'm so aware of His presence. It was the first time in my life that I was aware of His presence, although there was something oddly familiar about it. I said, "Wow, God is here." And then I was aware of just a sense of His love for me. And then I did something that I can only recommend if you haven't done it before, which is I suddenly realized I was in His presence. I suddenly had this desire to be all for Him, and I said, Latins who have come to the visit teams because you experienced the liturgy and the first time you were there, times of desolation, stay the course. If God wants to call you, if he wants you to change your spiritual plan, wait for the consolation, wait for the word from him, wait till he speaks to you. He'll call us forward, he'll call us to change course. If we restlessly try to keep trying new things out to escape desolation, we will end up going in circles for the rest of our life. God forbid, but maybe for all eternity. Don't change in times of desolation. That's the wisdom of rule number five. Rule number six is furthermore, resist it. When you experience that desolation, resist it. Focus more on prayer. Push against it. Focus more on meditation. Look at your, examine your conscience. Is there something you're doing? Like when I came back from Germany, and I had given into habits, I had given up my spiritual practices, I had allowed those folks to drag me down. Something, pause it, examine our conscience, a little bit of penance. If you were going to pray for an hour, 2 minutes. It doesn't have to be a big penance, just a little penance to push against. Don't give in to the enemy pulling you away. Wait for the Lord to speak. Call. So finally, what is God's will for us? How does he call us? Fortunately, St. Paul gave us an answer for every one of us. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. What is God's call for every single one of us? Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. God wants us to be holy, to pray, to rejoice. That constant prayer, again, taking up Jesus' prayer is a beautiful way to do that. Taking a word from our Lectio Divina, from our prayer with Scripture, holding on to it. Ultimately, that Numa being in the news, that Theria, that's the prayer that can go on constantly inside of us, even when we're engaged in many things. We want to enter into that habitual space of recollection, our awareness of His presence, our awareness of His voice, to carry that into all our activities. It's not entirely up to us. Grace that he gives us, but we have to do our part, which is to show him that we really want to hear, to make a space of silence, to have a dedicated regular